Thanks for listening. The following audio is a teaching from Calvary Tucson's Young Adult Ministry, Ignition. For more teachings, information, or if you'd like to support our ministry, please visit us online at ignitiontucson.com. We pray you're blessed by the message.
So Mark chapter 1, verse 1 starts out like this. It says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We will unpack this in a few moments, but a question at first I want to ask you, how many of you guys have Twitter? I know it's weird, right? How did I go from one thing to another? Or who has ever had a Twitter account? Nobody? Anybody? All right, Instagram? All right, so a Twitter or Instagram, raise your hand. Okay, we got a few who don't have any. But anyways, I'm just going to update you a little bit. I'm going to use something from society and culture and try to tie it into the Bible and whatever. We'll see what happens. But a Twitter account. So Twitter, I would say, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, is more of like an information-based social media platform. Very messed up information-based, and you can get very, very skewed views from all over the place, but I would say it's more so geared towards information. What happened? What is so-and-so doing? What is the president thinking that we don't need to know about today, right? It's like he makes a mess of Twitter, but anyways, that's another story for another time. But anyways, when we're looking for information, maybe, like, hey, what's happening with the NFL? What's going to go on with the NBA and sports-related things? You're not going to look to my Twitter profile to find out what I tweeted about the NFL, right? Like, you're like, Nick, he might have his opinion, but you're going to go to the source. I want to hear someone from ESPN who knows what they're talking about. Or maybe in light of this day and age, like the political craziness, right? Like, I want to know what so-and-so thinks about it. What does the Republican Party stand for? And what are they pushing in the media these days? What is the Democratic Party saying? And so you wouldn't come to me and say, well, what does Nick think and what did he tweet about it, right? Or any average person. You would go to somebody who actually means something and you would be like, okay, that's who I want to hear from, right? So, like, again, Twitter is just kind of this thing where you get some information. So you don't follow the average Joe person to try and find out, like, the truth or at least the truth of what was said, whether or not what was said is right or wrong, you know. When you're looking for that stuff, you look for the accounts that are verified, right? Would you agree? And maybe you don't even notice that you're looking for it, but it's those little blue check marks, right? Right next to the name on Twitter. It's like, boom, it's verified. What that means is that person is who they say they are. What that means is that, hey, if you're looking for their opinion on the matter, this is their word. This is their opinion on it. Whether it's right or wrong, who knows? But that's what it is. On Instagram, it's not so much information-based. It's more like, hey, look at me. This is what I'm doing. This is what I ate. This is where I went. This is how cool Austin, Texas is, you know, things of that nature. And you see that. But then at the same time, it's not information-based. So when you follow someone, like, just take your favorite artist. Anybody want to give me one?
Matthew West.
Okay. So you go for Matthew West. You look him up on Instagram. You're like, man, I want to follow him. I want to see what he's up to. And you type in his name, and then all of a sudden, 20 Matthew West pop up. And you're like, well, which one is the real one? And then you click on one, and you're like, oh, man, the dude's, like, down at the bar drinking, getting hammered. And you're like, this can't be him. And if you maybe you're misled, right? And anyways, you're trying to find out who the real one is. I would say another good example, Justin Bieber. It's like there's a billion Justin Bieber accounts, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, well, which one's the real one? Who's real, right? And so Levi Lusco, all these pastors, they have verified accounts. And so that's why they're verified, because it's like this account is actually the person you're looking for. This account, what's represented here, is actually posted by that person or someone he gave the authority to post on their behalf, right? So in either case, it's like it's been verified. Well, tonight, while we look at Mark. Did I say Matthew earlier? I did? Mark chapter 1. Tonight, as we look at Mark chapter 1, my hope is that we can leave here encouraged and confident in the fact that Jesus has been verified. That Jesus is who he says he is. that Jesus' word is not somebody else's word that we can't trust, and it's like, well, I don't know if that's really his account or not. No, this is the word of God that has been given to man that we may read, that we may understand, ingest, and that will transform our lives. Can I get an amen if you believe that? So my hope tonight is that we would see that Jesus is verified, that he is who he claims to be, that he did what the Bible and the Old Testament prophets said that he would do, that he fulfilled it to a T. And we're going to look at some prophecy tonight because it's just so good. And if you don't look at prophecy and you don't think that it matters, you need to think again. Like if you want to know Jesus, you need to know what he has done. We're going to see that he's fulfilled prophecy in the Old Testament. He did a whole bunch of stuff in the New Testament, and he is currently at work making a place for you and I right now until the end of these things, and he wraps it all up and takes us home. He is the Son of God. He is the I Am, he says. He's the Messiah, the Christ. He's the Savior, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Jesus. And he is verified. What I want to tell you tonight, and this is maybe, I don't know, this is of utmost importance, is that we need him. We need him. I need him. In the last 6 months, I mean, I'll go out there, and so I led this ministry for 6 years. I served here at Calvary for probably 10 years or so before leaving. But in these last 6 months, it's like God has really humbled me. He's brought me down to the point of where like I don't even know what certain things mean anymore. Where I'm like, we're planting a church, but God, what does that even mean? What is the church even supposed to be in this day and age in the light of the things that's going on? Like, what is the gospel? And I'm asking myself these questions, and I'm sorry if I'm just very vulnerable, honest, and transparent with you guys here tonight, but I'm asking you these questions. God, what good is it even to preach the gospel here if like nobody even cares about it? And what is it supposed to do? Like, we can't go out in Corona season anyways, and so I'm struggling with these things. And I'm thinking very externally, ministry, what am I supposed to do? What's it supposed, the effect it's supposed to have? But then God's, I believe, was saying, no, I need to do something internally first. And I'll admit that he is doing a work internally in me where he's just reminding me of the gospel. What is it? What does it mean? Who needs it? You know, why is it true? Why is it verified? And so going through Mark, and we're actually going to get into Mark at the Fervent Church in our launch. And so I've been studying through it, and I just see this incredible theme of just Jesus being verified, authenticated, where Mark is just like, this is what is happening. I love Mark because it's like the shortest of all the Gospels, and he's like, let's just get you what you need to know right now real quick so we can get you on the road on your way and making disciples. And I love that about it. And I just love brief things. And as many of you know, my teachings are usually not brief, so get comfy. But we need Jesus. In light of this day and age, COVID-19 came in, wrecked the economy. It closed down companies and businesses. People lost jobs. People got sick and lost lives. On top of that, we have this racial injustice going on. People being killed, cops killing people, people killing cops. On top of that, we got rioters just rioting for who knows why. I mean, they say why, but really, is that really the reason when you look at the people group who's actually doing the damage? We got rioters. We got political wars going on. I wish we could just get into that all night, but that would... just makes you just see the world. You're like, the world's crazy. Political wars. You have suicide is on the rise as far as statistically speaking and from what it was pre-COVID. And it makes sense too because you think about it. It's like the Bible says, he who isolates himself seeks himself. It's a dangerous thing. Jeremiah says that our heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Who could understand it? So when you're alone with your evil, wicked heart, man, it's not good. You see what Satan's doing is he's trying to divide us. He's trying to get us away from fellowship, away from that koinonia that Jesus is telling us, like, no, you need each other. You are the body of Christ. How can you operate without the other parts? So we have suicide. People are depressed and they make crazy decisions. That's the day and age we live in. We have not just that, drugs and drinking, it's on the rise, right? Because people don't have anything to do, so why not just try to make it a good time? But that just leaves people more depressed than ever. We have abuse on the rise as well. There's people who are, they got to stay at home orders, and now they're forced to be with each other. They can't go to work because they lost their job. Now husband and wife are fighting. There's that type of abuse. There's abuse to children going on. And let me let you in on a new one that you might not know of, but a friend posted it today. His account was not verified, so I don't know if it's true. But he is a pastor, so I believe that he would share the truth. But this is the sick and twisted world that we live in right now. In California, they passed a bill, and now pedophilia, whatever you want to call it, is no longer a crime if the person's 14 or older. That's the sick and twisted world we live in here today, folks. This isn't me telling you of a world 100 years ago and the civil wars and wars that happened before and just people that were dying and idol sacrifices. This is happening today. And when I say that, it's like we need to know Jesus, because if you don't, when this whole thing ends, it's like, where are you going? If Jesus comes back today, I was listening to a message, and man, it's Jesus just reminded me of the simple, basic things. And some of you come to church and you're like, oh, the gospel, I got to repent and believe in Jesus. I hear that all the time. But the reason you hear it all the time, and I love Lecrae because he says it best, he's like, the reason I say the truth or sound the same is because the truth doesn't change. The truth doesn't change. So if I sound the same, if we sound repetitive up here, if next week Sean's like, hey, you need to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, it's because that's the truth. And Jesus says the truth will
set you free.
And so we need Jesus. We need the truth in this day and age. We need to know him, because he could be coming back at any moment. He said, I'm going to come back like a thief in the night. And let me just ask you, if he comes back tonight, middle of the night, you're sleeping, are you ready to face your Maker? Lord Almighty. This isn't just like, oh, this Jesus that I made up and fantasized in church service on Sunday. This is the God who spoke the universes into existence. If there's more universes, you know what I mean? Like, you guys are going through Genesis. How miraculous is that he just speaks and there's life? And that's the God you're going to stand before when he comes back. And he's coming back. So we need to know Jesus. We need him. We were made by him. We were made for him. We are his children. He loves us. This is what I love too, is that he spared nothing for us. I'm a father, as many of you know, and I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. My 4-year-old, we go to the store and he'll ask me for things. And Daddy, do you have any money? You know, you haven't, why? It's like he wants to buy something. He doesn't even know the extent of money, you know, but he wants some money. And he's like, well, how much money do you have, you know? And me as a parent, knowing what he wants, like I might have a $20 bill, $5 bill, and a $1 bill. What dollar bill do you think I'm giving him? A $1 bill. Like, I spared some expense there. I'm like, I'm not going to give this to you. But I mean, I think that would be a loving father. But we have God Almighty, man, Jesus sparing nothing for, or holding nothing back for us. And he just gave his life. He gave it all for us because he loves us. He loves each and every one of you in a very special way, a very unique way. And he gave it all. He died that we might live. He became our sin, our unrighteousness, the things that we just said that are happening in the world today, the sickening stuff. It's like, and don't point fingers at the world and say, man, you're so messed up. No, we are so messed up. We got problems too. We might not be as crazy as some other people, but man, to God, for the most part, I would say sin is sin. The punishment of sin is death. Talks about different levels of type of stuff if you want to get into that deep theology. But no, sin, the result is always death. And so he becomes our sin, our mess. He takes it on, all this nasty stuff. And he says, and you can take my spot. You can become my righteousness. You can become pure and clean. Man, what a deal. Jesus verified Mark chapter 1, verse 1 again says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, and I want to highlight that if you take notes or have a pen in there, the gospel. The gospel means what? The good news. And what is the good news? Christ is risen. Thank you. And I love that. But most people are like, the good news of Jesus Christ. But if you said that to someone who doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, like if I said, hey man, there was like something crazy happened on the news somewhere, but they don't know where that is or what that even means, they don't know much. Sadly, what I've noticed, we've noticed living in Texas, is there's many people who know the good news, Jesus. They know that. That's about all they know. They don't know much about their Bible. They don't know that they're supposed to repent of their sins. They don't know that God wants them to live holy and just and be set apart. So anyways, the gospel of Jesus, the good news. And I just love that in light of today where we watch the news and it's all bad. For the most part, right? The good news of Jesus. So what we see, though, in this first thing, we're talking about Jesus being verified. I'm going to give you guys a few things, if you take notes, of who is verifying Jesus so that you can hopefully have some confidence in what's being written. And what we see, just first off, it says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and Mark is writing this. Mark, many people believe it's John Mark. It's kind of this like anonymous gospel, but many people believe that it's John Mark, and they believe that Mark wrote it off of Peter's account of the gospel. And so what we have right off the bat verifying, we have man, humankind, verifying that Jesus is who he says he is, did what he said he would do. He fulfilled prophecy that we're going to get into. And I know like for some of you that's very maybe minor and minuscule, but that adds weight. We got Mark taking account from Peter, who was an eyewitness, and in court there is no witness greater than an eyewitness. So we got an eyewitness account. Peter living with Jesus, walking on water with Jesus. Peter being part of the miracle where he fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fish. Peter, it's like he is God. I've seen it with my own eyes. And so Mark's writing this account, and so it's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he goes on and he quotes some scripture. He says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So Mark is saying this is the beginning of the gospel. Again, like Jesus is the gospel. He is the good news. Like that's it in a nutshell if you wanted to tweet it out to somebody. But like it's much deeper than that. Like you got to know. And so what he's saying, like this is the beginning. We're just scratching the surface right now. And I love what he does is he throws it all the way back to Isaiah chapter 40. If you have your Bibles or you have an app on your phone, go to Isaiah chapter 40 with me. We'll have it on the screen maybe. Okay. Isaiah chapter 40, and if you get there, just like keep a pen or something there, because we're going to be going back and forth for a second. But Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, he says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Verse 3, a voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So again, I love that Mark throws it back to this, because what he's saying is that the gospel didn't start with me here today. He's like, the gospel, the good news, it actually started a long time ago, and really even before Isaiah, and we go all the way back to Genesis, and Sean taught on that too at one point. And I love that he throws it back. And what he's basically saying in a different roundabout type of way is like, go back and read Isaiah chapter 40. And Isaiah chapter 40 is just so good. We are going to read all of it by the end of tonight. But Isaiah chapter 40 is, he's like, make straight the paths for the Lord. Make straight the path for the one who is coming, the Messiah, the Christ, God Almighty, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Like, hey, prepare the way. At this point, Isaiah's writing. He's just writing down what the Lord tells him to do. He doesn't necessarily know who it's going to be, when it's going to be fulfilled. He's just doing what he's told. And this is some 700-ish years before Jesus walked the earth. That's what I love so much about prophecy. It's like, man, how could something be written down so like perfectly, and then 700 years later, like none of us have ever lived anything close to 700 years, right? That just doesn't even compute with us. And 700 years later, Jesus comes on the scene and he fulfills this. And then there's God saying, make straight the path for the Lord who's coming. Mark chapter, or verse 4, sorry. So he says, make straight the path, and he says, John appeared. Again, Mark's version is very high speed. So you're like, who's John? John the Baptist. But John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So he's making straight the way for the Lord. He's starting to straighten people up. He's like, hey, the Lord is coming. You need to repent. And you need to be baptized. He says, and all the country of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We're going to kind of fly through this too, I apologize, but there's so much good stuff, and I have to highlight the fact that God wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit being maybe the best thing that you could ever get, gifting, right? I want gifts. I want the gift of teaching. I want the gift of this, that, the other thing. The best gift that you can receive is the Holy Spirit, and God wants to give that to you. Jesus said to the disciples, I'm going away. You know, for the disciples at that point, like, hey, man, we've been walking with you for 3 years. What do you mean? You're just going to bail on us, Jesus? We've given up everything to follow you. And he's like, I'm going away, but I'm actually sending someone who's better for you, the Comforter. And it's going to be better for you in the long run. But could you imagine at that point in time, the disciples are probably like, it can't get any better than this. You are God. You are the Son of God. You are the I Am. We've seen it. We are witnesses to it. But Jesus is like, just wait. It's going to get better. He's like, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to do works and more mighty works than I even did. So God wants to give you the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 40 verse 3, we read it, but he says, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And again, that's what John the Baptist was doing. He was preparing the way. Again, that's prophecy, like coming to fulfillment. And it's another person verifying Jesus, John the Baptist. So we got Mark, you got Peter, you got John the Baptist. And then Mark chapter 1, verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. And pause for a minute just to think of that picture. It's almost impossible to imagine, but it's also just like something about it. You think of that, God just splitting the skies, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and the Father saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so what we see in that part is we have the Father and the Holy Spirit verifying Jesus. So not only man, you could say, well, men are messed up and foolish, and they say all kinds of different things. Yesterday they were saying Caesar was king, and now they're saying Jesus is king. So I don't know who to believe. But now you got the Spirit and the Father testifying of Jesus. See, I told you guys to keep your place, but I didn't even keep mine. Verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 40 says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Again, just keep in context. He's like, hey, make straight the path of the Lord. Prepare his way. John the Baptist comes and he starts to do that. And then the next thing, verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 40, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That the heavens broke open. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove. The Father spoke. He says, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Father spoke. Maybe it's Jesus' baptism that's being prophesied of. Verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 40, sorry to jump back and forth, but man, it's good. The voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand. Say it with me. Forever. That's an underline, highlight it, memorize it, commit it to memory type of verse there. And I love it. So again, now we have another thing testifying, verifying that Jesus is who he says he is. We have scripture, God's spoken word. You're like, well, how do I know that Jesus is God and that I can trust him? Well, he was prophesied of hundreds and even in some instances thousands of years before he was even on earth. And his word is trustworthy. He will preserve his word, and it will stand forever. I'm going to jump back to Mark, verse 12. Did I already read that? Nope, verse 12. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And I love, again, Mark's gospel account. It's just so fast, snappy, from one scene to the next. But Jesus is baptized. And I think this is worthy of noting is that he was baptized and then immediately the Spirit, and it's the capital S, so this is like the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness, and read what comes next. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And I know you guys have heard, or many of you have heard this story before, right? Jesus being tempted. But it's like, isn't it just interesting that the moment he's baptized and the Father confirms him kind of thing and the Holy Spirit comes down in this miraculous moment, then the Spirit drives him out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And I say this to tell you that life following Jesus isn't always easy. And matter of fact, when you commit your life to the Lord and the Father comes down, it's like it's the will of the Father in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you're now living and breathing and following Jesus. But then it's like now you... It's testing time. You ever wonder that? Like, Lord, I gave my life to you. I've wondered that in these last few months. Had moments, Lord, I took my whole family and we moved out of our house. We sold our house. We moved from everybody we love and care about, a ministry that I loved being a part of. Why has it got to be harder now? Why am I so messed up? Why am I so confused? Like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do, Lord. It's because Satan starts to attack. When you step out for God, Satan steps out for you. But it's one of those things where when Satan steps out for you, after you step out for God, you got to know this, is that you're doing the right thing. It doesn't mean that you messed up or made a mistake. I think that's the fault that we tend to do, right? When something hard comes about and we just think something went wrong along the way. No, I don't think anything went wrong. It's just Satan doesn't want you to succeed. Don't worry.